Well, just in case you missed it, we're in the midst of the July 4th celebration. You may have heard a firecracker or two yesterday or the last couple of days. My wife and I were kind of disappointed. We thought we were going to go over to Joe Wheeler Marina and watch the fireworks there, but there were no fireworks. So we were sitting in the house and getting ready to try to watch some of the really good programming that's on television these days. Just trying to find something that we could watch besides the Weather Channel. But as we were sitting there, the windows quaked and the house shook. And Merle looked at me and said, "Something hit the house." We went outside and the neighbors had, in the middle of the road out there, had a bunch of big fireworks and they were shooting off cannons, I think, or something. But fireworks. Lots of celebrating. And probably most of us probably didn't eat very much yesterday, right? No hamburgers or baked beans or, you know, those kinds of things. Probably didn't do that. What's July 4th all about anyway? Well, for me, it's about eating. Because of the pandemic, it's can't get together with a lot of folks that we'd like to get together with. But it's a celebration of the Declaration of Independence, July the 4th, 1776, that was adopted by the Continental Congress. And it was a declaration of freedom from King George III. And England's rule after a bloody battle of the American Revolution. Depending on what website you look at, whether Department of Veterans Affairs or U.S. Army Military History Institute or whatever site you look at, there are all sorts of numbers in regards to the number of Americans that died during the Revolutionary War. Some figures give that there was approximately 217,000 service members during the Revolutionary War of the 13 colonies. And of that number, anywhere from 4,500 or so to 25,000, upwards of 34,000 or so are said to have died. So when you hang the flag out in the front, you eat your food of hamburgers and hot dogs and so forth. It's a great celebration. It's a celebration of freedom. But it also is a memorial. It's a memorial in the sense that we remember all of the lives that were given for freedom. We find a similar type celebration in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, chapter 9, you find there that there was the celebration of Purim. And it's still celebrated by the Jews today. This year was March 9th and 10th. And it's a celebration of the fact that Esther, by the providence of God, was in a position at the right time and the right place to petition King Xerxes for the deliverance of the Jews from annihilation. Since that time, the Jews have celebrated this holiday, and they have included the reading of the book of Esther, and they also remember the fact of all of the Jews that have been preserved or saved, and for all those that have been killed throughout the centuries. So to the Jews, Purim is a July the 4th. And probably there are a lot of Jews that don't think a thing about Purim. My guess is there are a lot of Americans that have absolutely no concern whatsoever with July the 4th. It's just a hot day that a bunch of people make a lot of noise, and it gets on my nerves, someone would say. I'm all into firecrackers and big booms. Brings me to my lesson today. I want to talk again about the challenge of being a Christian. And I don't think that we talk enough about the idea of showing our gratitude to God. I think showing gratitude to God is something that maybe sometimes we just don't do. And it's not because we're not grateful, and it's not because we're not thankful, but, well, we thanked God for our everything all the time in our prayer. You remember how we pray? Dear God, please, give me, 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 give me. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Then right at the end, before we say amen, and thank you for everything, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not about to suggest that that doesn't work, or that's not satisfactory. That's between you and the Lord. And if the Lord accepts that, I'm fine with it. But I think you can pray thanking God for everything in that language, and maybe, just maybe, we might take for granted the things that we have not specified. In Hebrews 12 and verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I think it's easy for most anyone to take things for granted. If you do something for someone so long, people become weary of saying thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate your sacrifice. Until we get to the point where we just say, well, thank you for everything. Some people's attitude is, well, if you're doing a job that's your job, I shouldn't have to tell you thank you. And to me, that is one of the sorriest attitudes that a human being could ever have. Because if you're not willing to really look at someone and appreciate even what they're doing, they're supposed to be doing, they're even getting paid for it, I think the underlying issue is that we do not show gratitude for everything. So this morning, I want to talk about that challenge of just being a Christian and being grateful. And I want to say, begin by saying that man really does have a problem with God. Now that may be just an odd way of saying that, but I want to introduce that to you in Romans 1. And you're familiar with this great text, beginning at verse 18. Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. You know, Paul spent time there talking about a couple of things. One is, God has revealed all about unrighteousness, that which is ungodly, that which is wrong and sinful. Don't do these things. But God has also revealed to us, just as plainly, all of His grandeur, His sovereignty, the beauty of creation, and all the things that we have. Do you still get excited when you see a rainbow in the sky? I love the song that Kevin chose, "There's a Rainbow." A rainbow is a sign and a symbol from God Himself about that He'll not destroy the whole earth again by water. My wife is probably one that gets more excited over a rainbow than anyone. And every time she sees one, she says, "There's a rainbow! Look at that! Isn't it beautiful?" I love the fact she still gets excited about that. Much rain as we've had, surely you've seen a rainbow recently, haven't you? When we went out west, we couldn't wait to see buffalo. We went out west, we saw buffalo. After a few days of seeing a lot of buffalo, finally you say, "Oh, what is that?" "Oh, it's another buffalo." You get sick of buffalo. You ever get sick of the rainbow? You ever get sick of the 4th of July? What might that be saying about us? In this context, I'd simply like to encourage you to go back and reread this text and study it more. I think the point is that God warned man about what was right and wrong, and He has blessed us by evidence of all the beauty of things. But then what does man do? He becomes ungrateful. He does not pay any attention to what God says about right and wrong. And he does not honor God anymore. He's ungrateful. So what does he do? He becomes a depraved mind. He becomes just an evil person. And he just does very well what he wants to. Welcome to the 21st century. That's it. 21st century. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 says basically the same kind of thing. And I just suggest this to you to simply say that there is quite a bit of evidence in Scripture about the problem man has with God. And verse 1, Ephesians 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." That's basically what Paul said in Romans 1. "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God with fragrant aroma. Do not let fornication or impurity or greed even be named among you, but such is proper among saints. And that there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Have you noticed in our country in the last several weeks, all the people that have been rioting and burning, how much they honor God? Have you noticed how much they are grateful to God for all that we have? Wasn't that what they were saying when they were burning buildings? I'm not talking about justice and righteousness and about being concerned about some bad cops or some bad people. People that do bad things should be punished. White, black, green, purple. But our world has gone nuts because they don't honor God. They don't appreciate God, and they're certainly not ever going to thank Him for anything. Very popular newscaster the other day on national television made the comment about COVID-19 that we didn't need God to take care of this problem. Bingo! Romans 1, Ephesians 5. Okay, that was my rant for today. We should always be giving thanks to God. Paul said, always giving thanks for all things. No, I'm not going to say it's wrong to pray, "Dear God, thank you for everything." That's not wrong to say. What my challenge is for us today is we ought to start thinking a little bit deeper than that. Has God given us everything? Yes. What would you have without God? Nothing. Nothing. We give thanks to our Father. Paul made that clear in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and verse 12. Notice, we give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints and the light. I'm simply suggesting that the Bible repeatedly talks about give thanks to the Father. So on a regular basis, I want to encourage us all to have these words on your lips. Dear Father, thank you. For what? Well, how about in everything? Now, this, if you'll notice in this context, is a little bit different than being thankful for everything and being thankful in everything. Take the worst circumstance possible. Can you still thank the Father when you're suffering? I would suggest that that is one of the ultimate definitions of integrity and godliness within an individual Christian. And here lies the challenge of being a Christian is, can I be in just any circumstance and be thankful? Show gratitude. I'm afraid that that has not been my character. If it's going my way and I'm happy and so forth, then I'm very thankful sometimes. But if things are going really, really bad, what is my prayer? What is my prayer when everything is bad? Give me, give me, give me. Again, another lesson. What should we pray about? Should we ask God? Jesus taught us to ask God about everything. Paul taught that. Ask God about everything. But this is a different point. This is a point about us thanking God in any circumstance. Count your blessings, not your bruises. When you go to Psalms 40, verses 4 through 5, you will see there that the psalmist simply talks about the idea that we have been blessed by God so much that if we really started to try to count and number the blessings, you won't be able to name them all, count them all. There are just so many wonderful blessings. But the fact that the psalmist makes that comment that we just can't count them, wouldn't it be okay to go ahead and try? Would it not be worth our while to go ahead and try our best to thank God? And I've used this as an illustration before, probably here in your hearing. I want to say it again. How many times have you ever tried to pray a prayer to God and not ask Him for a single thing? Make sure you do not ask Him for a single thing. And you pray to God only thanking Him specifically for each and everything you can think of. Have you ever heard a little child say a prayer? You've asked them to say the prayer for the food, and everyone's in a hurry to eat. The food is hot. We're ready to eat. We're starving. And you get the little 3-year-old to lead the prayer for the food. And what do they start? Thank you for my doggy. Thank you for the water I drank this morning. Thank you for my mommy. And they go on and on and on. And what are we doing? We're sitting there saying, okay, 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 say the food and let's say amen. Don't we have a tendency to be just a little bit annoyed with gratitude when it goes beyond three or four words? Our freedom in Christ is certainly something that we ought to be thanking God for, should we not? Remember in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, what the Apostle Paul said? He said, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." I wonder if any of us, especially yesterday, thinking about, did we really think about any point in time the flag and what it means? Those people that gave their lives for our freedom? Did we give any consideration whatsoever that as we were eating our food and as we were doing as we please, maybe you were on the river, maybe you were on the lake, maybe you were enjoying family, and you were it's just imbibing in all of this wonderfulness, did you ever just stop to say, "I am thankful for those who died that I could do this"? Bigger than that, you're here today and you're worshiping God because Jesus has set us free from our sins. The gratitude that we ought to be showing and displaying should be that of an enthusiastic, "I love you, thank you, I appreciate with all the gratitude of my heart that you gave your body, you gave your blood, and I'm free from my sins." But that can become just ho-hum. "We did that last week. I did it the week before. I've been doing it all my life." How many different ways can you say thank you? The freedom to serve God. Last night I was watching on television and they were showing all the military planes that have been used during war times in America. And that was pretty impressive. The only thing that would have been more impressive if I could have been there and just have seen them physically as they were flying over. I'm reminded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 as our president and his wife stood there and watched all of those planes go over. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." This is not a political point that you vote for a particular person. This is a comment, a statement, a command, yea, of God through the Apostle Paul during a time when the ruler of most all of mankind was a dictator, Roman Caesar. And Paul says to be thankful that we have the freedom to serve and honor God. While many people in that time did not have the freedom to serve God. And they were thankful in every circumstance. Would it be a stretch for us to at least give God our gratitude that we have the freedom that we have and be thankful for the men and the women who died for that? For our food. Just the food we eat. For our health. Not long ago, we mentioned in 3 John in verse 2, the concept of our souls prospering, or our physical bodies prospering as our souls do. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And I think I mentioned at the time, in that particular context of this, that point, is the fact, what if automatically we physically become the health that our spiritual souls are healthy? You get the point? Would I be in the ICU if my physical health was like my spiritual health? Or would we not have a pain in our body? Well, certainly, we should thank God for our health, both physically and spiritually. We should thank for our brethren. We've already mentioned this several times, but has it not been a wake-up call for all of us? The fact that we do not shake hands, we cannot pat each other on the back, we are not hugging each other, we cannot be the kind of lovey, you know, embracing people that we might normally be as God's people because of all this is going on. It has. I don't care what you say, I don't care what you think, it has hindered a lot of emotion and feeling just in our worship. It becomes cold. And we can do a holy wave, we can do an elbow bump, it ain't the same. Are you thinking back now to all the times that you didn't really appreciate your brethren like you do now? I mean, we've got a pretty good audience in here this morning. You remember back a few months ago when everybody was in here? Maybe we took that for granted. Being thankful for our brethren is so important, to show gratitude when you sing. I think that is probably one of the great keys about how you sing. I don't know what it is with our black brethren, but they get it. They get it. When they sang plumb down to their toe bones. We don't get it for some reason. I don't know why. When we pray, praying with thankfulness, showing gratitude and appreciation to God, we ought to express it. And expressing it for and during the Lord's Supper is certainly an important issue. Brother Brian did a great job this morning talking to us about things we can be thinking about in regards to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. It really ought to be something that we really appreciate and thank God for. How many of you, after the prayer is led, as Brian led the prayer for the bread and he led the prayer for the fruit of the vine, did you say any more prayers about the bread, about the fruit of the vine? Did you say any more prayers thanking God for sending Jesus? Do you thank God any more for the fact that Jesus came? Do you thank God any more that the Holy Spirit even revealed all this to us? All I'm trying to do, brethren, is to ride this horse as far as I can down the road to get you to understand that we need to be grateful to God. The amen is simply a confirmation, an affirmation, I agree, I'm with you in what is being said. I would to God that we could generate within all of us a more expressive, outward, loud commending of the prayers uttered of amen to God. I need to hear that from you. You need to hear that from me. That we appreciate what was prayed, what was said, what was taught. We should not be ashamed of that. We should not be afraid of that. We should show our gratitude to God. Well, showing our gratitude to God is a challenge, I think, to our being a Christian on a daily basis. And maybe we're just sitting here thinking again that, well, I can't do that, but really, you can. You just have to make up your mind to do it. Being thankful to God. Being grateful to God. Just as a challenge today, before you go to bed tonight, get down on your hands and knees and pray a prayer to God. And don't ask Him for a single thing, but start thanking Him for everything that you can think of. Now, this is not a contest. Nobody gets a prize. But I just wonder, how long will that prayer be? That would challenge us. And if you want to learn how to pray like that, let your 3-year-old lead a prayer and they'll teach you something. Thank you for listening this morning. We appreciate so much your attendance. We appreciate so much more your attention. If there's someone here this morning that is not a Christian, we want to encourage you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be baptized so that you can be forgiven of your sins. And yes, what a great thing for me to have had the opportunity to baptize a few folks. And when they come up out of that water, they are very thankful and grateful because they realize their sins have been forgiven. If we could just capture that emotion and that feeling and keep that for the rest of our lives as Christians, it would be great. It would be great. So if you need to obey the gospel, if you need the prayers of the brethren here, if we can help assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
God, call me, yes.